This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Astrology University podcast with the Cosmic Eye Monthly Forecast. Capricorn season. And for Capricorn season, we have a very special guest with us representing Capricorn is the goat, Jessica Lagnado.
Hello, hello, hello. Sun, moon, and rising all in Capricorn. You've called on the right woman. That's right. For sure.
So I'm really interested to hear a lot of your insights around Capricorn and what Capricorns are going through right now as well, but we'll get to that. So I'll get started with, yes, the goat, greatest of all time, plus the goat, is Cardinal Earth. It's transpersonal, and Capricorns aren't just for Christmas, are they, Jessica?
I would say not, especially as a Christian, as a Jewish person. No, they're not.
True. And something I love about Capricorns is the I'm not bossy, I'm the boss. We're seeing a lot of that girl boss sort of representation. And I think some millennials are starting to get a bit of shit for that, but I love it. And I think to me, it's very Capricorn. And I think for the Capricorns, it must be very like feeling seen, because that's something that I really respect and look to my Capricorn friends and mentors on how to be professional, how to have professional boundaries. What would a Capricorn do? Because I have no earth. And you're one of those people.
Thank you.
Would you like to share some insights about Capricorn with us?
Okay, yes. So here are my favorite things about Capricorn. The first is conservatism. And I don't mean it like right-wing conservatism at all. And I think a lot of people misunderstand Capricorn energies as kind of like ideologically conservative. That's not what Capricorn's about. Capricorn's about conservation. It's about conservation of energy, conservation of time, conservation of, you know, whatever it is. And that's where Capricorn energies kind of lend themselves towards, you know, girl bossiness, as it were, or whatever else it is. Capricorn energies are, I think, capable of being very Darth Vader, like daddy issues, wounded, and oppressing others. But it can equally be Mary Poppins coming around to firmly yet magically help you heal your daddy issues. You know what I mean? Like she to me is like that character is the perfect archetype of Capricorn. And it's the one that I most identify with as a 12th house Capricorn.
Interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. The magical component.
Yes, it's magical, but also she cares for children and her friends in a very structured and tight-lipped way. But the father in that story is a banker. And the wife is like about like the suffragette movement. And so there's like this, a lot of themes there around that kind of character in that movie that I think really do a good job of embodying Capricorn energies and what they can be. You know, I could go on and on and on about it, but suffice it to say, I'm Mary Poppins.
I like it. Yes. I can't unsee that now.
Okay, great. That was my goal. That was the goal.
I will say what I've noticed about Capricorns, because I can't speak from the inside, but I can speak observationally, is very systems oriented. Obviously, business is a thing, you know, what is practical. It's an earth sign, but it's practical in a certain realm as well. Very responsible, obviously. That's a classic, maybe too responsible in some ways, taking on a lot. You know, showing up when they might not even need to, but they're sick, but they're still going to show up. My dad is a Capricorn, and I saw him do that, you know, just would always do what he said he would do. So I've taken that on as well. I like the idea of delayed gratification for Capricorn, particularly out of all the signs. Do you do that?
100%. Oh, yeah. I'm very comfortable with delayed gratification, which, you know, works. I mean, I personally don't associate Capricorn with business because I'm not business oriented, but delayed gratification, pragmatism, responsibility kind of equals business, you know, if you apply it in that way. But I don't, again, I'm a 12th house Capricorn, so I don't think of it that way. Yeah. But yeah, totally. Delayed gratification is an easy Capricorn Let's give it to the Caps. Yes.
Yes, they get it. They get
it. For better or worse. Yeah.
And do you set yourself up like that as well? Like, okay, I'll reward myself with this at this time if I do this particular thing. Do you do that consciously? Yeah.
It's both an unconscious way of looking at the world and looking at whatever it is I'm dealing with. And also, especially when I was young, it was a very conscious choice. So, okay, here's an example that I've never shared in public. It's very weird and random, but it's coming up. When I was a kid, I learned that salt was bad. I think it was like bad for your cholesterol level or something. I don't remember what it was, but I was like, oh, salt is so delicious. And I know I'm going to want to eat a lot of salt when I'm older. So I'm not going to have any salt in anything throughout my childhood so that I can eat a lot of salt when I'm older. And I did it. And I love salt. And I have like tons of fancy salts now that I use liberally. And I thank young me all the time. Yes. Yeah. That is as Capricorn as it gets.
That is an extreme example. That's years. That's delaying it till adulthood is. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. That's
You're
extreme.
Welcome.
I love it.
You're welcome. It's embarrassing. And also I'm proud. It's both.
Meanwhile, Sagittarius, five planets in Sagittarius here. I was eating so much salt as a child. I would just eat the salt. My mom would put it in a little plastic thing and I would just eat the salt. Yep.
Oh my God. So yeah. No, my Capricorn brain would never let me do that.
No. Needless to say, I'm pretty light on the salt these days.
Exactly. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So of course, the sun, it's Capricorn solar season. So the sun is going through a particular part of everyone's chart right now. So whether you have any Capricorn placements or not, these ideas and these themes and archetypes are going to show up in a certain area of your life represented by where Capricorn is in your chart. So we're all in this together at Capricorn time. I have a question for you as well about the solar season, because during Sag season, I really relate to this time. We're recording this a little bit early, so we're right in the thick of the silly season. And I just love the vibe. It's so silly. You can see Sagittarians having their parties being loud with 1,000 of their very closest friends. And I just really relate to it. I wish the whole year was like this, where people were really friendly and silly and they just break those codes in a way of professional conduct, how we're all supposed to act. But then we get into Capricorn season and it's quite a different vibe. Do you really relate to that time? Do you look around and feel around and think, yes,
this is not at all. Not at all. I hear fire signs always saying, when it's my season, I shine, the world is beautiful. But I don't as frequently hear earth signs say it, but I certainly hear earth signs say it. But personally, me, even though I'm a triple Capricorn, I don't relate to the season. And some of it is because as a non-Christian person during Christmas season, it's really a very annoying time. You know, it's like, whatever. It's like very uncomfortable frequently. I'm not a partier anymore. And so New Year's Eve, I mean, you know, what am I going to do with that? And then birthdays, what are birthdays? They're a time when you're supposed to have a party. What am I going to do with a party? I'm a Capricorn. I'm not going to have a party. So all to say, I know.
The question, you've almost answered the question with your answer, because you're sounding like such a Capricorn. What am I going to have a party? Exactly. No, that's extreme. So to me, the answer is a solid yes, even though it's a solid no.
There you go. There you go. You know, for me, what I've done pretty much since my late 20s or my mid 20s is in Cancer season, I start adopting the age that I'm about to turn in Capricorn season. So I'm going to be 47 in January, but since June of 2021, I've been saying I'm 47. Like I just round up 6 months every year. And you know, so for me, the birthday is just like, all right, I've been here for a while. It's cool. Let's keep on moving.
Whereas most people are like doing everything they can to put the brakes on.
Yeah, you're
like,
not me, yes, not me.
I'm and senior.
And you know what? It's not just about being senior. It's also about making, like having 6 months to get comfortable with a new age. Mm. So when the new age actually comes upon me, I'm prepared. So I guess it's back to delayed gratification. Because, you know, 47, I was like, oh, this one I can really feel. And it took me a couple months to get comfortable with it, but I was technically 46. So it was super chill. And now that I'm 47, obviously I'm not really, but I will be by the time this airs, maybe, you know, It's easy, easy peasy. I've been here. I've done that. It's easy.
Right.
It's
chill. That's okay. Yeah. That's strategy right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Classic now, Capricorn bullshit.
What would you say, just quickly, things to do in Capricorn season? This can be fun or serious or both. Things to do in Capricorn season. I've written to get us started. I'll say,
great.
Put your name on a plaque.
Oh, I like that.
Get something named after you. It's all about legacy. So think about your legacy. This is a strategy too behind this. Jessica's smiling. She's liking this. Delegate because, you know, empire. Donate your time to civic duty. I love that, you know, responsibility for the clan. I love that about Capricorn and not to be underestimated. Mm-hmm. What about you? What are your thoughts?
Okay. Capricorn season. Organize your closet. Clear out your inbox. Make sure you have made all of your doctor's appointments for the year. It's Capricorn season. Do you need to gnash your teeth and pull out your hair about something that's happening in the world? Please do, because it makes us feel seen, you know, as Capricorns. I love all of yours, but I really want to say get involved in your civic duty. Like, again, whether it's conservation of the planet or some sort of issue that is important to you, like be the change you want to see in the world. And I know people associate that with Aquarius, but you know, this is where like that Aquarius Capricorn, both doing Saturn vibes, they're both related to being a part of society's solutions. So thinking outside of yourself, you know. It's a great thing to do most times. Go to the dentist or make an appointment. There you go.
Let's go to the monthly moons. So this season, we have a new moon coming up fairly early on January the 2nd. It's trine Uranus in Taurus and square Chiron. It's at 12 degrees Capricorn. New moon. And square the Chiron. I guess anything in Capricorn right now is going to be often hitting up the Chiron. Very late could be hitting up that Pluto. I actually wanted to ask you about the Pluto thing for Capricorns. Do you want to speak on that?
Sure. And which part of the Pluto thing? Because there's so many parts of the Pluto thing talking about here.
The transit of Pluto hitting Capricorn, you've got so much, you know, it's hit your sun and your moon at the same time. I'm thinking that it's probably in the vicinity as we speak.
It's on my ascendant right now. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Watch this space. Can you share an insight about that transit?
Mm-hmm. About the Pluto conjunction to the ascendant specifically?
And, you know, hitting your sun and moon. It's in the 12th, so it's going to be different for everyone. But I guess for the Capricorns out there and those who love them, to me, it's a big time when Pluto hits so much at once. I've had it go over my Sag stellium, but you know, sun and moon and ascendant is next level to me.
Yeah. You know, the Pluto conjunction to the moon was pretty damn devastating. It was a very difficult transit. Mm-hmm. And the Pluto conjunction to the sun was easier, and the Pluto conjunction to the ascendant also easier than the moon. And I think that's about the way my chart is written more than what is inherently true, because I've seen it for other people go all manner of ways. But the thing about Pluto is it wants us to let go of what's no longer serving us. And the thing about Capricorn is that it's like, I know it's serving me, don't get in the way. And so there's this way that, you know, we must kind of embrace, anyone with any Capricorn placements that's getting hit by Pluto, we must embrace humility and recognize that, you know, that's one of the gifts of Capricorn, is the capacity for humility, which I think is like deeply linked to mastery. If you have a master of anything who is not humble, you have somebody who's maybe not great at using their mastery in a humane way. And so the key, I think, with these transits is being willing to let go of control, let go of the way things once were, let go of feeling good in the ways that allow you to present yourself, you know, in a particular way. Because whenever we have placements in Capricorn, we tend to want to present ourselves as capable and okay.
Yeah.
And Pluto's like, that's so cute, but no. Pluto's like, no. And so it's really always about learning how to let go, I think, with Pluto. And I think the kind of like larger transit of Pluto and Capricorn that we've all been in together has really just been a wake-up call for on an individual level, how we organize our lives and how we relate to the world around us. And, you know, whatever country you live in, whatever your personal circumstances, we've all been impacted by that. And I think that's, you know, the next couple of years as Pluto's in its final degrees of Capricorn, that will only become more intense. And then what we do with it is for another podcast episode, Pluto and Aquarius. But that's my hopefully quick and dirty answer.
I like it. Thank you from the inside. So let's go back to the moons, the new moon, trine Uranus. That's quite nice. So there's two threads going on in, you know, that one. The Uranus could be jumping out of the box. I always seeing it as a quick escape mechanism. You know, yeah. If you put the effort in, embrace something new with ease. So it's not as shocking, but you've still got to make the change. And it is in Capricorn, but practical, you know, square Chiron.
That's the problem, isn't it? That's the damn problem. That square to Chiron is, you know, okay. So the square to Chiron, considering the trine to Uranus, is kind of a gift because the trine to Uranus can kind of empower us to be more inventive and creative with how we deal with old wounds. And inevitably, this new moon is meant to confront us with some old wounds because Chiron doesn't just pick out something ouchy. It picks out something ouchy that resonates with something from our past or core wounding in my experience. And so this new moon, I think, is an opportunity to see that with fresh eyes and to engage with it in new ways. It just takes remembering to be interested, remembering to be inquisitive if you feel bad or if you're dealing with something difficult, which is hard to do. Usually when we feel bad or we're dealing with something difficult, especially with Capricorn vibes, we get conservative. We get, you know, that's the negative side of conservatism, Capricorn conservatism. We get fear-based. So it's about remembering to be interested and creative in how we engage with these things.
I like that. And it's a good point. I mean, that's where astrology can really help. You have some sort of handle on, you know, you can remember, oh, well, there is this challenging aspect. If you get that little ping at the time, you could be like, oh, there it is. That's what I do currently in my Chiron return situation on my moon. When I get that ping, when it shows up, I know how it's going to show up because of the chart. Like it always fits into that theme and the whole thing. And I'm like, there it is. And it gives me a lot of space. It's amazing. So I like that using that creative way of dealing with it when you recognize the little thing and consciously taking it on. If something comes up or you know something's there, I like to just kind of wait till it comes up because you don't want to like feed something that's not happening at the time, like play in with what's actually happening rather than you try to make things more difficult when they're not. Like if it's all great, go with it.
Absolutely. Did you ever read The Greatness of Saturn?
No.
It's Vedic astrology, which I don't usually mess with Vedic astrology. I'm a tropical astrologer as you are as well. Eh? Mm-hmm. But The Greatness of Saturn is a living parable. And so you're meant to read it. It's like this very Sagittarian. You're meant to read it in this very spiritual and reverent way. And it is such a powerful read. If you can find this book, and it kind of talks about what you're talking about how do you engage with Saturn's energies responsibly without projecting into them and creating a problem that actually isn't the problem, because that is not what Saturn wants us to learn. Yeah. So it's, you can get your paws on it for Capricorn season. It's a good read.
Oh, I like that. We have a what's on your coffee table later. So that's definitely going into that.
Great.
I like that.
Yes. Yeah.
So the full moon is January 17 at 27 Cancer. So the sun at 27 Capricorn. And that's quite late on for everyone with those late placements as well. And that's at 6:48 p.m. EST. It's trine Neptune. Nice. Magical. It actually forms a mystic rectangle. Fancy. With the moon is sextile the north node, trine the south node, the sun's trine the south node, sextile the north node. Look, I think there's no squares. It's just the sun.
There's a Pluto conjunction to the sun in opposition.
I didn't write that down. Yes.
I noticed you didn't write it down, but I saw the degree and I was like, ouch. I mean, that is, a real rough full moon in my estimation.
Yeah.
Because there's all of these amazing things that are supporting us in coping with the difficulty, but there's the difficulty. And, you know, sitting here in the United States and seeing that 27th degree, knowing that it's the degree of our Pluto, that's
yes.
is what I would definitely I would put a red flag on the map of the month.
Sometimes I like to just stay home.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I don't expect that nothing will happen. I'm trying to be diplomatic in how I say that, but it's not going to be nothing is my guess. Mm. It's going to be a big, intense, transformational full moon. And on a personal level, the capacity that we have on a full moon with Pluto involved like this is for transformation. It's huge. We can really like uproot things that need to be released. And the capacity that we have for catharsis and healing is huge. Pluto destroys, but it destroys not for nothing. It destroys so that we can heal. So there's great capacity, but we need to be willing to take responsibility and, you know, and to be vulnerable. Yeah. Because Cancer, right? So it's like, how do we engage with vulnerability in a way that's responsible to the self and to others? You know, that is it's a part of becoming mature as a person.
That's that polarity, isn't it? Really getting into that polarity. If something comes up, and it could be, you know, you might see something on socials or read something that catalyzes that archetype of the time for you as well. It might not be in your life personally, but it's still going to come into your life somehow, potentially, particularly if you have planets that this is going to ping or, you know, ascendant in heaven, et cetera.
as it were. Yes.
I mean, you do have, I do like the trine to Neptune and that mystic rectangle happening. I think that could just offers more opportunity to go with the transformation and all that sort of thing. I quite like the other thing I forgot to mention. Let's mention it now. With the Pluto transits, I saw it as, you know, if Pluto's power and the sun's personal, I saw it as a real opportunity for stepping into your personal power. But for that to happen, sometimes someone might test your boundaries to see if you're ready to step up, or are you going to give them the power? Where's it going to go? So, you know, the positive, it just depends how you go with it, isn't it? Yeah. Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it challenging? Is it a good challenge? Do you step up to the challenge or not? You know, that's life.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, you and I were talking about age so perfectly for Capricorn season before we started recording. And I think also, you know, the older I get, the more I get to see things that I thought were really bad things that happened in my life were some of the best things. And some things that I thought were amazing were real setbacks. What we perceive things to be in the moment is not always as it is. And I think, again, maintaining inquisitiveness and curiosity and a willingness to be, you know, just present helps us to make the most of these things. So, you know, if we're stepping into our personal power because someone's shoving us off a cliff, then, you know, being able to recognize that what you need to do is keep on showing up responsibly, it can turn it into one of your best life experiences, even if it involves being shoved off a cliff. You know, like I think, you know, it's about what we make of it, for better or worse.
That's true. Yeah. I just thought of the Capricorn idea of time. And yes, we were having a great conversation, which will continue somewhere else as well, because I think that is huge. Capricorn, aging, time, the amazing, you know, one of the gifts, of course, of getting older, and we age as soon as we're born, remember, is that perspective that time gives us. Like you just said, looking back and seeing things in a really different light, because you've had the time to have these cycles be fulfilled and you can see where that leads. So it gives you a different perspective on things happening at the time. And I like seeing how old people, like old people, senior people often will look back and that, you know, nothing seems to ruffle them. They're just like, yeah. And at this point I can understand why, because they've seen it all and they've got a whole different way of seeing things. And it can be really interesting to talk to older people and try to get a little bit of that awareness, I think, or, you know, get their take on something that maybe is happening, because you know what, they've probably either seen it or been there, and it can be really helpful. Or ask a Capricorn.
Well, I mean, I think it's you know, it's also some things. It's like if we're talking about Capricorn stuff, it's like your Saturn returns are meant to change you, and it's so important for us to respect people who've been through two or three Saturn returns. That is a big deal. It means that we've had the opportunity to mature, and it's also a challenge. But that, you know, I worry about, certainly in American society, that there is not enough reverence and kind of intergenerational connection anymore. Mm. I think having intergenerational relationships is really, really important. And we all have something to learn from each other. I'm a big fan of it. And as you're saying, there's just so much to learn from people who have gone through things and have matured in their perspective, even if they themselves are immature people, that, you know, there's a maturity of perspective that occurs as a result of time. And that's really, it's like, as an astrologer, it's fascinating. And as a person, it's inspiring.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It definitely helps with the astrology. And we were talking about women and in our culture perception of the changes that come with certain times in life, always marked as well by astrology and the returns and certain squares, et cetera. And yeah, is it a bad thing? Is it a good thing? Is it just the perspective of our society, particularly on women that bear a lot of the brunt of it? And personally, you know, I'm ready to break out of that. I am breaking out of that box. Sorry, I am. Because I can see a bigger picture around it and I will not be dominated by that, especially in a negative way. If it was a positive thing, I'll just go with it, whatever it was. But it's not. It's not helpful.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not helpful for society at large either. So I think, you know, one thing Capricorn does, and I love about Capricorns, I've noticed the younger ones, and because, you know, I'm maturing myself now, it's, they have a reverence for that age and that wisdom. And maybe, you know, professionally, if you've gotten along the path a bit and, you know, you present yourself well, they love it. And they, it's something they understand. People with Venus and Capricorn very much too love that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that placement of Venus and Capricorn. I don't have it. I just love it because
I love it too.
Capricorn people are just so good at appreciating that, and also they're good at work wives, you know, they're good at having those kinds of relationships. Amazing. So as a Capricorn, I love that. And yeah, it's a really interesting thing. And I mean, aging is frightening and it is stressful and it is beautiful and it is a privilege. Not everyone gets to grow old. And I think when we're looking beyond like the superficial and we're getting into the reality of the lives we've built and our happiness or not, our success or not, what's truly important about aging is that it is a privilege to explore this human condition throughout the course of time. And it's a burden. I mean, I'm a Capricorn. I'd be lying if I didn't say it was a burden as well. But it is a privilege. And I think being able to remember that when you're worrying about a wrinkle or, you know, whether or not you get into the like young person's club or whatever happens as we age, especially to women, I think that's really, it's an important thing. And yeah, it's complicated. It is really complicated. Mm. And I hope we do continue this conversation because I think it's one that needs to happen over and over again. It's a biggie.
Yeah. Well, I bring it up a lot of this up at, you know, my friends' birthday parties and things like that. And what I find is everyone gets really excited by someone talking about a new perspective that's very empowering. They ignite very quickly. And so I think, yeah, a lot of people are there for that. And I want to represent that for younger women coming through to, you know, there's something to look forward to. It's great. Like just completely rebrand it and take control of that whole thing because women haven't had any control over that, you know, and we can now. So let's own it. That's very Capricorn, if you ask me.
Yes, indeed. The positivity, maybe not so much, but the rest of it, yes.
Yes, it's a combination. Well,
please don't tarnish our brand. We are not running with this positivity. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, how are you going with that? And we both have Saturn opposite our sun. So you have got all this, so much Capricorn and Saturn right over there. So you get to look at it every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Opposite my moon too. Not to brag, but yeah.
So let's get to the headlines. And the biggest and the best is this month. Yay. It's the Saturn square Uranus again, round three.
This transit.
Coming in hot. December 24. I mean, I'm not religious. Obviously, my background would be Christian people, but I think it's interesting that it's on Christmas Eve.
It's a big deal. I think it's, I mean, people are going to really need to be careful with their families, you know, because this transit is going to kick up family stuff and family stuff that has been long developing because Uranus is like, ooh, we're going to pop that top. And Saturn's like, no, shush. But Uranus is not going to have it because it's not the first traverse, right? It's the third exact transit. And a lot of people will be with their families. And if they're not with their families, whether you're Christian or not, there's still all this pressure to be with people. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so there's a lot of pressure there. Also COVID. You know, we would be remiss to not talk about COVID and the, you know, we have a new strain that's out and how that will impact people's families and dynamics, but also health and safety. You know, there's a lot to consider with this transit.
And that general, you know, whether it's good, bad, present, not, who knows, wherever you live, there's that general sort of fear and anxiety vibe as well. And Saturn can bring that fear as well. And Uranus can really pump up the nervous system like crazy as well. Maybe leave early. That's my plan.
The trick with this transit in my mind is really, it has so much to do with our mental health, because I think this transit strains our mental health. They're talking about pandemic brain for not for people who've gotten COVID, but for everyone in the masses who's living with the uncertainty of this period and of this pandemic. And I think that this like strain on our mental health for the past year, again, when it hits these exact points, can represent either breakthroughs or breakdowns.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you know that you're struggling, make sure to put in place good mental health support. You know, that might mean having a playlist that soothes you on your phone so you can listen to music. It might mean having a therapist on speed dial. Like, it might mean a million things, but you can prepare because Saturn's involved. It's Capricorn season. Just prepare three things to support your mental health, three resources, you know, a friend on speed dial, whatever it is, because this transit can be fine and it can be really destabilizing. You might as well get prepared and then be happy that you didn't need to use that preparation, you know?
Good point. That's a good point. Yeah. And I think with, I'm just thinking about, you know, Saturn, Capricorn generally, I feel like often Capricorn is, you know, they care what people think. There's reputation involved. And I find some Capricorns find it very hard to be the Cancer and admit to vulnerability. So I think in this case, along with what you've said, is talk about, you know, often if you just express it and talk about what your fears and anxieties are, it can sort of, it can help to get them out or write them down.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely. Just,
as a strategy.
Writing is a really good one.
And I didn't realize till recently, but there's another square later next year. I was thinking for ages this was the last one.
No, this is not it. It's still late 2022. I mean, the last, it's almost exact. It's not perfectly exact. It's almost exact in November or it's in November.
October. It kind of comes in June, July, and then it hits from what I looked at in October.
It's late October then, eh?
Yeah.
You know, and then once it passes, we're still going to be under the influence of it for a minute. We're not done with this transit for pretty much another year.
Yeah.
And I think that this is where, you know, cultivating stamina for the uncertainty is really important, you know, and this is where I'm constantly talking about astrology is amazing and beautiful, but mental health is more than astrology. Mental health support is more than astrology.
Yes.
And it's important that we all have mental health support, whatever that looks like for us as individuals in place for this period.
Yeah. The astrology is more like a map or a clock or a guidepost, gives you a handle on archetypal themes. It's not, it's not the thing though. Like you have to go do
the same
meditation or lie on the earth and breathe and relax the mind. Don't look at the socials that give you anxiety, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty, you know, when we're talking about astrology, we're predicting into the future. And when the present feels so destabilized and the future is so uncertain, that can actually be really rough for the mental health. So it's, again, it's about having like healthy boundaries with this stuff. I know I sound like a poster child for Capricorn, but I am. So
you are.
I am.
But I like that point and I'm going to run with that. I really like that point. It's something I've taken on myself again recently, which is, yes, you have to project into the future. You want to project from at least a positive space. So push aside the anxiety with, you know, when you get up, you know, have that cold shower, be Iceman, wake your body up, you know, get into, you know, Capricorn's an earth sign. It is the body. It is getting into the present moment and you can do that best through your body, I think. Taurus rising will say that. And then do like a morning, just a positive journal, like everything you're grateful for. I always say my cats because they're so beautiful. And, you same, know, roll same. That out and open it up, and then be grateful for the things that haven't happened yet, but like they have. And it's a really nice way to sort of get past that wave of like oppressiveness that is here. I'm feeling it myself, which is I'm usually a pretty positive person, but I can really feel that crushing weight of my dreams shattering. So, you know, born to travel, we can't travel. And that's my motivation, is always like to be able to travel and meet people, and that's gone. So I'm like, well, what have I got if I don't have that? Let's have a look at what I've got if I don't have that. I've got my pussycats, you know, I've got a beach down the road. It's amazing. And it really works. So that's one of my little tips.
That is very Sagittarian advice. And I like it. It is not Capricorn's advice. Capricorn's advice is write it down. Don't forget it. How's it going to go? I don't, could be bad. I don't know. So I like that you're infusing it with a little optimism and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I've had to, because as you said, if you look ahead from a place of fear, that's the, if you're looking from that lens, that's all you're going to see. And it's true. And it's the same for me. So I'm using my little Sag hack because I can't take that weight. I've got too much Sagittarius, Moon in Aries, like too much fire. That light has to stay lit for me.
Yeah.
I love how Capricorn can handle the weight though. I find that fascinating.
I think it's a really important thing, you know, as we're talking about these archetypal signs, because you and I are both so much of the sign that we are.
Right.
You're so Sagittarius. I'm so Capricorn. There's so many ways of being. And, you know, there's some ways that I think it's so important for people who aren't into astrology or are just getting into astrology, don't realize that, you know, I can give you the best advice based on my lived experience as a Capricorn.
Yes.
And you have so many planets and Sag, it's not going to be good advice for you, because you need to, as you say, keep that light lit. You know, I don't have that light, and I have a lighter, but it's a pain in the ass and it hurts my finger. So maybe I won't use it, you know, very Capricorn. So, you know, it's really just, there are so many ways of being, and there's so many ways of being your best possible self, but they're different for different signs. And I really like, you know, getting to talk to people who, like me, have stelliums or like major concentrations of energy, because we are so in our, you know, energies, you know, in this particular way. Not that I don't love people who have energies all over the place too, but this is just a really cool experience because we get to like embody the archetypes of these signs. I have kept gratitude journals in my life, and they're great and they're wonderful, and they're so much work for me to do. It just feels like labor because I'm a damn Capricorn. I'm like, oh my God, I got to do a gratitude list. I got to be grateful. Okay, I'll do it. You know, because I'm a damn Capricorn. We all have to find our way. So if you're listening to this and you're hearing us and you are not either a Cap or a Sag, then a lot of our ideas are not going to resonate. Mm-hmm. Find ideas that resonate for your chart, but take the kind of kernel of intention with you and then apply it to your own chart. That's really, to me, like the key with astrology.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I was being interviewed for something this past year, and somebody asked me how I relaxed and what, like how I was taking care of myself in this period.
You, like,
and I was like, oh, I consume a lot of news, and that soothes me because it lets me know what's happening around the world. This guy rolled his eyes at me. He was just like, that's impossible. He must've had a lot of fire in him too. Cause you were like, I just saw your face. You're like, that's the opposite of what worked for me.
So depressing.
It is, but to me, it's empowering to be informed because then I can know what my assignment is.
Yeah.
And you know, that is, I think, technically great advice, but it doesn't work for every person. And it really has to do with your chart, your nature, but also the period of life you're in and what you can take in and take on. And so, you know, it's, we talk about astrology sometimes as like, this is what it is. And it's an organism. We're talking about organisms, things that are living and moving. And so we want to be open to that. And I guess that kind of keys into our whole conversation about aging and time as well. Yeah.
So, I have to go back to the news thing. To me, this is like another Capricorn insight, because it, like I'm saying, my Capricorn dad was like obsessed with watching the news. And I just think it's very Capricorn. Yep, want to know, can handle it as well. It's hilarious that you say it's soothing. I try to stay on top of it, but it just diminishes my light seeing what people how base people can be. I like, you know, I have to really keep a tab on how that's affecting me personally. Yeah. It kills my light, but I also like to know what's going on, because I like that bigger picture. But Capricorn, it's all about the news and soothing. Best insight ever.
Really, and it's for me about being responsible, because how can I be a responsible citizen if I'm not an informed citizen?
What's the facts, isn't it, too? Like, what's the reality here?
Yes. Yeah. It's about accepting reality as it is.
Yes.
And the only way to accept reality is to be present with it. And how can you be present with a reality you're unaware of? So again, this is, you know, I think it sounds great the way I say it, but it doesn't matter. That's never going to work for a fire stellium person. That's just not the reality. You know, everybody is different. Or if it does work for a fire stellium person, they will relate to it differently, even if it's technically the same things. So it's really, it's a, you know, all you can do is live your own chart. That's all you can do is live your own chart to the best of your ability.
Yeah, very individual. Now I'm going to really jump ahead, because we have got a hard finish coming up in 4 minutes.
I can go a couple of minutes over, but close to that. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll keep it tight. So there's other transits, obviously. I think the headline is the headline, and I prefer that we give that a lot of nice time there. We do a featured nonprofit. So I'm going to quickly say, I found for this month, it's called, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Maiti Nepal, Maiti, M-A-I-T-I, Nepal, NEPAL.org. And it's run by an amazing lady whose name I will try to pronounce, Anuradha Kerala. And they work on the border between Nepal and India to prevent trafficking of young Nepalese girls. It's extremely multi-pronged. You know, they take them through schooling, they set them up ready for life. And it's been going since 1993. So it's very established. She's amazing. A gazillion planets in Aries. And she'd like to apologize to all the people she's yelled at.
Oh, did she really say that somewhere?
Yes.
That's amazing. That is the embodiment of Aries. That is the embodiment of Aries.
And her background was a military family. Like, so archetypal. Wow. What have you coming up? What have you got coming up? You've got your podcast a couple of times a week. Is that right?
I'm only doing it once a week now. Dropped it to once a week.
Which day?
So every Sunday in the US, I drop a podcast episode and it's called Ghost of a Podcast. And so it's Monday for you. Is that what you just said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Sunday here, Monday there. And what else do I have? I have a weekly horoscope. I have a class coming up, that I'm doing with an herbalist that I'm really excited about. And if people are interested, they can go to my website, lovelignato.com. And I have my transit tracking app, which is just constantly out there. Astrology for days.
And you can click on every, like each day, it's like a little calendar. I've got that. Thank you. And it's got the time of every aspect. It's got when things are going to ingress, retrograde, full moons, eclipses. Mm-hmm. It's very convenient. Looks nice. Of course, anything
thank
you do. So very
thank
useful.
You very much.
And of course, your book is there. I mean, a lot of people are buying gifts, right?
Yes, indeed. It's called Astrology for Real Relationships. And it is, it explores three different kinds of relationships: friendships, hookups, and short-term relationships, and then long-term romantic relationships. It is queer inclusive.
Yes.
And it explores not just Venus and Mars, not just the sun or moon. It's every planet in the birth chart. And it's cute. And it's cute.
It's very cute. It's got some great illustrations. Of course,
anything
from Jessica, very modern, very inclusive. I love the reloaded style that you do. And I aim for myself at Astrology Reloaded for actual modern people, women, everyone. Nice.
And you are so good at that. And thank you. With your beautiful books.
Thank you.
So many beautiful books. Do you have a specific designer that you work with? I've always wanted to know, this is not Capricorn-y, but do you have a specific designer that you work with, or you just pick the greatest designers for your book?
Well, because I'm commissioned for the book. So the commissioning editor has chosen the designer. There's a different one for each book, which I quite like. I'll sort of say what I'm aiming for, but I never have enough time to do too much. I'm like, you know what? I trust you guys. Give me something that you know, I'm looking for.
You're trusting the right people, because you've beautiful books.
They're lovely. Thank you. I love them too. I'm really grateful for those artists. So I'm working on the third one at the moment. So I'm not sure who the artist is going to be. So I'm really looking forward to that surprise. I've got to do a lot of work explaining things, but it's like worth it in the end. So Star Power and Cosmic Power, of course. And the third one, Secret Surprise.
Ooh.
So I'm doing readings. Do you do readings at the moment?
I am not taking clients at the moment. Yeah.
I am, but I could close that down because I'm starting to get to that point as Mars is going to go into Sagittarius soon. I can feel it already. So that, I am open, but maybe not for long.
It's for me, the astrology of this time is so difficult that I don't like giving bummer readings all day long, every day. But that is, you know, a big part of why I pull back from doing readings. It just, it's quite a time.
Yeah, it is. It
is. Yeah, quite a time.
I'm going to share what Astrology University has coming up. They do take a little bit of a break, but I checked in with Tony and he said they have on January 8th, the year ahead handy with Kelly Surtees. She's amazing. In Kelly's popular annual webinar, she'll look at the main astro events for 2022 with suggestions and tips for navigating the energy on January 15. Astrology University has Lynn Bell, amazing, starts a new three-part webinar series on solar returns, always interesting, to conclude with the re-release of her classic book, Cycles of Light. And then on January 19, Kathy Rose will be teaching a new course on solar arcs. If you've ever wanted to learn more about this timing and predictive technique, this is a good time to jump in. So Kathy is a clear and experienced teacher who will guide students through the method over 4 weeks. The course includes reading and homework as well as weekly live Q&A sessions. So something to get in and be part of that Astrology University crew, which is nice. So that's go to their events page at Astrology University and you'll find those. Thank you for joining us. What a pleasure. I wish we had more time. I could talk for 20 hours.
I know. I feel like every time we talk, I want to talk to you for at least 3 hours. I feel like we should have like a minimum base of 3 hours. It's such a pleasure. And I love talking to you and I love Astrology University. And of course, Tony Howard, the international cutie that he is. So I just like to say things like that, but it's also very true. I mean, anyone who's seen him knows. So thank you so much for having me. And I hope you have a really good Capricorn season. I hope it's as vivacious for you as Sag season was.
Or whatever it needs to be in the best possible
way. Or whatever
way.
It needs to be. That's more realistic. Okay, I'll give you that.
Thank you, Jessica. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Have a beautiful Capricorn season and new year.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.